the grace of God. Tonight I just want to have a chat. If it sounds like preaching, well, just forgive me. I'm going to try not to preach tonight. And if I succeed, you've just witnessed a miracle. But there's just some things that I've been thinking about for a while, and I read during the week a little devotional, and there was a sentence in it, and I thought, you know, that crystallizes some stuff for me. There are people who have the wrong name. Have you ever come across people who've got the wrong name? No, it doesn't happen to you. I can see from the blank looks on your faces. Doesn't happen to you. I'm actually not a Paul, I'm a Dudley. So if you go, gee, he doesn't look like a Paul, I'm actually Dudley. That's my second name, but I normally keep that quiet. But there are some people, and I just feel like they've got the wrong name. So to help me remember their name, I come up with all sorts of little tricks so that I'll remember their name. I won't tell you the tricks because for me they're really convoluted, but they work. You know, I will have all sorts of symbolism to help me come up with a name. It doesn't always work. I'll come up with the wrong name still. But I need things like this. Things like this are important to me because they help me to remember stuff that's important, like people's names. And they also help me to remember things that God has purposed for my life, but I forget. I forget stuff. And so God's given me the capacity to use these little things to help me to remember things that He's got there for me all the time. So tonight, the title of my talk is DOS. Not DOS, as in the disk operating system, but this is DOSS. And this just helps me to remember some stuff. I'll get to that later. Just want to read this scripture from Isaiah 43, 16 and 18 to 19. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. When God took the children of Israel out of Egypt, it took him some time to get Egypt out of them. And God is taking us forward into new territory. They saw stuff then that they had never seen before. In this scripture in Isaiah, it talks about the Lord and it says, He makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. For me, that speaks of the time where He made a path, made a way through the Red Sea so that the children of Israel could pass through on dry ground. They had never seen that before. There was a way made through the sea and they walked through it on dry ground. When they were coming out of the wilderness and into the promised land, you remember they had to cross the Jordan. The Jordan was in flood. How were they going to get across the Jordan? The same way they got across the Red Sea, miraculously. As soon as the priests who were carrying the ark stepped into the water, the waters piled up and they walked through the Jordan River with dry feet. I guess it was only the lead priests who got their sandals wet. The rest of the guys walked through with dry feet. And God is saying to us, the same God who does that, does unheard of things, wants to do unheard of things with you and me now. He wants to do things that we've never seen Him do before in our lives. You've heard this before it's nothing new, but we, whenever you heard that, we're in a new time now. And God is ready and doing a new thing. And you may be looking at your life saying, well, it's same old, same old. We're in 2015, well, we're in 2014, and we're in 2013, and it kind of looks the same. I want to tell you it's not the same. It's different. God isn't going to do the same things that he did in the past. He says here clearly, I'm doing a new thing. He's going to do impossible things because he says, I'll make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You look at areas in your life that are wilderness areas and are desert areas and maybe have been that way for a long, long time. And you are saying, it's impossible. There are actually no roads through this wilderness. There's no way to get through it. It's impossible. You look at the wilderness, no roads. How do we navigate this territory? Because it's just wilderness territory. It's impossible for us to get through. I know I'm speaking to many of you tonight. Wilderness territory, you can't get through it. And God is speaking to you tonight, and he is saying, I am going to do a new thing. Just as I made paths through the sea and through mighty rivers, I am going to make ways through wilderness areas that you don't have to figure out. You just walk with me and see them open up before you. God's not asking you tonight to become a road builder through the wilderness any more than he asked the people of Israel to be road builders through waters. He's saying, I will do it. And we say, how? And a part of his response is, my thoughts, that is God speaking, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And your ways are not my ways, says the Lord. It sounds simple, but it really isn't. Because we are very good at making our plans, thinking through our thoughts, making our plans, coming up with our formula, and then we say to God, bless it. And we've come up with it. And we say to God, bless it. God's grace is so big, so vast, so broad, that there are times where he does. He just blesses us. Why? Because he's God. And he's good. And he overlooks our foolishness and our stupidity and our temerity in standing before him saying, we've thought up some pretty good things. God bless them. When he said, his thoughts are not the same as our thoughts and his ways are not the same as our ways. I wonder what that says to you. It seems to indicate that his ways and his thoughts are inaccessible to us, but they are not. They're not inaccessible at all. We're very good at justifying our positions, justifying why we did something. I love the proverb, and it's repeated in two different chapters in Proverbs. The lazy man says, there is a lion outside, I shall be slain in the streets. And again it says, the lazy man says, there is a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the streets. Why does he say this? He's justifying his position. He's not going out. He's not working. He's not doing anything. He's staying inside expecting other people to provide for him because he's got this position. You know, it's dangerous out there. There's lions out there. You could get killed. I don't go to work. I really want to go to work, but there's lions out there and I could get killed. And he could tell you the story. He would have the stats on exactly how many people had been killed by lions to justify his position. Do you realize that there is one person every 3 months gets killed by a lion? I'm not going out there because I don't want to be the next statistic. We are really, really good at justifying our position. my dad used to say to me, and we'd have a laugh about it, he used to say to me, it's a poor man who can't come up with an excuse. And it's true. We're very, very good at coming up with excuses. God is not looking for our excuses. And it's such a wonder to serve a God who knows us inside out and puts up with us, not just grudgingly, but puts up with us graciously. Wow, he puts up with us graciously and lovingly. In Psalm 103, verse 7, it says this about God, that he made his ways known to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. This makes it very, very clear that God is inviting us all of the time to know his ways, to understand his thoughts, to understand increasingly who he is and how he operates. Can we ever attain to his wisdom? Can we ever attain to his ways? The answer is no, because he's God. His ways are infinite. His thoughts are infinite. But he calls us into them. Why? Because he wants greater and greater relationship with us, because he loves us. And so calls us into relationship with us so that we will walk with him, we will learn his ways, and we will be in every way more and more like him. I think I was about 8 or 9 years old, and I heard this story, and I never forgot it. I'm not sure if I've heard it since. But a king, wanting to find out what his subjects were like, placed a really large stone in the middle of the road. And then he hid behind a hedge and he watched to see what his subjects would do as they came along and were confronted with this big stone in the middle of the road. So the first person who came along was, I think, a miller, a farmer in a cart taking his wheat to the mill. And he saw the stone there, did nothing about it, but went on his way after having to navigate around it, cursing the person who had left the stone there. But he went on his way. And other people came and they all stopped and complained about the stone being in the road, but nobody did anything about it. They just complained and went on their way. Until finally, it was late in the evening, and a poor girl who worked for a miller came along at the end of a hard day. She saw the stone in the road and she spoke out loud and she said, "In the darkness, a traveller is going to fall over this stone. I better shift it." So with great effort, she rolled the stone bit by bit and got the stone off the road, and found underneath the stone was a box. And it had a note on top, and it simply said, "Whoever moves the stone gets to keep what's in the box." Opened the box, and the box was full of gold. She got to keep it. Of course, people heard the story and came back and scrabbled around in the dust to try to find their stuff, but it was gone. I tell this little story because there was an obstacle there that nobody did anything about, but it took one person to find that there was something more than an obstacle there. A little sentence I read earlier this week was, "In every obstacle, there is an opportunity. In every difficulty, a door. And in every stumbling block, a stepping stone." So I've just switched it around to make it easier, so that in place of a difficulty, we have a door. In place of an obstacle, an opportunity. And in place of a stumbling block, a stepping stone. Now, this could be a talk just to pep everybody up and say, look, there's There's wonderful things out there. We've got to find the opportunities. You know, if somebody throws a lemon at you, just turn it into lemonade, that sort of stuff. And all of that is good. It's good to be positive rather than negative. Joel reminded us this morning that it's important what we listen to. We can listen to stuff that pulls us down, or we can listen to stuff that lifts us up. So that is well and good, and it's fine for us to do that. But God is encouraging us this year to find keys in difficulties, to find keys in obstacles, to find keys to promote us where there are stumbling blocks. And I could go on. I've only got three things that we're looking at tonight. I could go on and on. It's the principle that we are talking about here that God is inviting us into. Have you ever been around people and everything is doom and gloom in their lives? And the doom and gloom merchant's talk is contagious. Pretty soon, everybody around them is gloomy. I tell you what, the opposite works as well. The opposite works as well. Where you are full of life and full of hope, that's transmitted to others as well. Especially when that life and hope comes from heaven. God's calling us to see things from a heavenly perspective. He's not calling us into a formula. If you want to know about formulas, become a Pharisee. The Pharisees had the formulas down pat, even down to the little bits of herbs and spices and how you divided those up and got your tithe. You know, they were pernickety. They were really good in figuring out rules and regulations and formulas. And it's an easy place for us to go to as Christians because there's a certain degree of safety in it. But the safety, as it appears, is actually a jail. It's a prison. We can use all sorts of good things, and they are good in their own right, but we can use them to justify our position as Christians, but find ourselves locked away from God's goodness, locked away from God's purposes, locked away from life. We can go to God's Word, got to read it every day. Is that a good idea? Absolutely. Church, be there every Sunday morning and evening. Got to be there, both services. Is that good? Absolutely. Witnessing, telling people about Jesus, you've got to do it. Is that good? Of course it's good. And we could go on and on and on, but we are very good at making boxes out of these things and saying, you've got to fit into this box, and if you fit into this box, you're doing well. Don't fit into the box, you're not doing well. I've got to tell you, that's religion. It's not the life that God purposed for us. And we can even use that way of approaching problems so that we see them. Ah, well, God's brought me this problem for a reason. I've got to figure out what the reason is. If I can't figure out what the reason is, then I'm in trouble because there's got to be a reason in this. Are we going to have trouble? The answer is a resounding yes, because Scripture tells us so. Sometimes when you come to Jesus, you have far more troubles than you did before you knew him. That's just the way it is. So coming to Jesus isn't going to take all your problems away. Coming to Jesus is going to take away man's biggest problem, which is the problem of sin, which has already been taken care of. But we are going to have problems. How do we navigate those problems? What do we do when we come across difficulty? In Genesis, we read about Joseph and you know the story well. His brothers took him, threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery. He was taken by Potiphar, who treated him well, and then he was lied about, ended up in jail again. Guys promised him maybe he can get out now. Maybe they'd tell Pharaoh about him, but they forgot. Things just went downhill for Joseph. Downhill, downhill, downhill. It was not looking good for him at all. But Joseph trusted God's ways, even though circumstances said it's hopeless. And we can trust God's ways when circumstances say exactly the opposite. What are your circumstances telling you tonight? And they're telling you something. Your circumstances are speaking to you and telling you things. What are they telling you? Hopeless? No way out? Been like this for years? Don't think that it's going to get better? It's a wilderness. There's no road through it. Your circumstances will tell you all of these things, but that is Earth's perspective. And even as believers in Jesus Christ, we can go to that perspective and say, well, it's hopeless, but I guess I just have to hang in here and God will do something, I guess. We've been given heaven's perspective. So when we come to those places where it looks as if difficulty has shut us in, we say there's a key here. You know, the very door that locked Joseph into the prison, that same door, the same door, was the door that opened to him being the prime minister. Exactly the same door. The door that he went in and was locked up in was the door that opened when Pharaoh called him out and he made him prime minister. It was the same door. And he could have stood cursing that door, but the door was the door to freedom. The door was the door to liberty. The door was the door to his salvation and for the salvation of many. We know that Joseph learned a lot about that. And he learned that in a way, it wasn't the circumstances and difficulties that had locked him away, but God had allowed it because through those circumstances, through those difficulties, only God could bring out something good. And he wants to, in your life and mine, bring out good things. Does that mean he brought the circumstances? No. No. Because we live in a life where bad things happen to us. Difficulties come to us. We get locked up by circumstances, but God in those circumstances is giving us a key. And the key is not just for our release, it's for the blessing of many. In Joseph's case, we don't know how many lives were saved by that one man who was simply faithful to God in circumstances that said, give up. Even on his brothers, who were the architects of his misery, he spoke blessing and he said, don't be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid, I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. God's ultimate purpose is to bring out blessing in your life and through your life and honor and glory to his name. We can sit in those circumstances, shut up in them, cursing the fact that we are there, or we can say, God, you are here with me. And again, we read in the life of Joseph, everywhere he was, God allowed himself to get locked up with him. Wherever you are tonight, locked up, God has allowed himself to get locked up with you. Isn't that cool? God permits himself to be locked up with you. But of course, God can't be locked up and locked away. So he's got a plan to take you through, to take you out, just as he did with Joseph. You'll come across obstacles as well. I'm often reminded of the story of Isaac, who was living in the valley of Gerar, and God blessed him. He had flocks and herds and all sorts of things that needed water, so he digs wells. You remember the story. He digs wells to provide water for his flocks and for his herds. And the herdsmen in the local area contested him. Every time he dug a well, they came up against him. There was this obstacle that arose when he dug a well. So he dug the first well. I don't know how deep he went. Maybe he had to go down a long way to get it. And he called the well Esek. And he only called it Esek because the guys came along and quarreled about it. And they said, "You can't take that water. That's our water." Look, if it was me instead of Isaac there, you know what I would do? I'd have filled the well in and said, "Sure, well, go ahead. Go and get your water." But Isaac wasn't me. Praise God. He simply went and dug another well, thinking, "Well, okay, we'll give that one over. I'll go and dig another one because we need this water." He wasn't going to quit because he felt called to that place, so he digs another well. And the same thing happened again. And that well was called Sitnah because there was enmity over that well. There are people here with situations where you have worked hard for something that you believe is yours, and other people have come and said, "It's not yours, it's mine." And you are struggling with how unfair that is. And in human terms, it's grossly unfair. And you're struggling with that. And God wants to say to you tonight, "I know. I know that it's unfair, but go and dig another well. Just walk away and dig another well." And you would have thought, you know, after one, just digging another one would have been okay. But the same thing happened again. Some of you are wondering, is it just going to happen for the rest of my life? And God's saying to you tonight, no, it isn't. He's going to make a way for you. But as you are faithful in digging these wells, in digging these ditches, he will show himself even more faithful, because ultimately Isaac dug the well at Beersheba, where the city still is. You can still go to it's called the Well of the Oath or the Well of the Seven, depending on your translation of Beersheba. And that well was so successful that they actually built a city there, city of Beersheba. And it's interesting how this nation has a real tie with Beersheba. You can read some of the history of it. It's fascinating history that we are linked into Isaac's obedience in just digging another well. And God took away the enmity. He took away the contention as this man was just faithful in doing what God had called him to do. And I know there are many of you here tonight, and you've been faithful in doing what God's called you to do, and you're wondering, has he actually seen it? Because every time I take this step, there's enmity, or there's contention, or there's quarreling. I just don't want to do it anymore. And God's encouraging you tonight And he's saying, pick up that mattock. Pick up that shovel. Pick up that crowbar. Dig another well. Go on, dig another one. Give it a go another time. Because I'm with you. I'm the God who makes a way in the wilderness. I'm the God who makes a highway through an ocean. I am with you. This is not spin. This is God himself speaking to you, saying, I'm with you. Throw out the formulas. Throw out all of that stuff. You don't need that. It's as simple as, I am with you. You may have made some mistakes. You may have got things wrong. You may have said things that you've regretted. You may have done things that were foolish. But he's saying, put all of that aside. It's in the past. I'm doing a new thing. He says clearly, forget the stuff that's gone before. Don't remember the former things. If there's stuff that you need to put right from the past, do it, but don't stay there. Move on. If it means digging another well, dig another well. Because he's going to take you through these obstacles and leave you an inheritance. As surely as he left Isaac an inheritance, that is there to this day. And we as a nation had the privilege of participating in its liberation. And you can read that if you read something of the history of the Light Horse Battalion. So God makes a way where there's difficulties. He provides doors. Where there's obstacles, he provides opportunities. And when there's stumbling blocks, he provides stepping stones. He's not saying we've got to figure this out because we can't. It's a good thing. We can't figure it out. And he's not saying, well, until you can figure it out, it's not going to happen. He's saying, wherever you are, I am there with you. And I've already figured it out. Just walk with me and see what I'm going to do. A number of years ago, Cheryl and I headed up the young adults in this church. I was much younger then. Cheryl was just as young as she is now. And we would do stuff with them. And one of the things that I remember we did was, when you could, we decided to climb Mount Biwa. That was back in the day when you were allowed to climb Mount Biwa. You can still climb it now. You'll get fined, but you can still climb it. I remember in our group of young adults, we had about half a dozen exchange students from the USA who were at Sunny Coast University, and they became a part of our young adults group. So it was a novelty for them to go and climb a mountain on the Sunshine Coast. And if you've ever climbed Biwa, who here has climbed Mount Biwa? Anybody? Okay, good on you. Well done. You'll know that the first part of it is this steep block of just slippery rock, pretty much. And you have to navigate that to get to the easier paths towards the top. You can't get to those easier paths unless you go up and over the stumbling block. You know, you've got to get up that. And then, of course, at the end when you're coming down the mountain, you've got to come down that rock as well. And I remember one of the students, I lost count of the number of times she said it to me, because we had young, fit, strong men to keep an eye on these young ladies and make sure they didn't fall or lose their footing and go sliding to the bottom. But one of these girls in particular was really scared, really afraid. She was so afraid that her knees were almost knocking together as she was trying to get up. You know, she could barely even move her hand to get another grip because she was just shaking so much. And she kept saying to me, and I don't do a very good American accent, but it was, Paul, I'm not liking this. Paul, I'm not liking this. And it was just the whole way, Paul, I'm not liking this. I'm not liking this. Well, we got it to the top. And then thankfully, got it down. But coming back down over the stumbling stone, it was the same thing. Paul, I'm not liking this. Finally, we got down in the cars and we're driving away. And she asked me if I could stop the car, because she wanted, at a certain place in the road, you got a wonderful picture of the height of Mount Biwa. And of course, it's the highest of the Glasshouse Mountains. And there was a really good view of it, a really good perspective to show, hey, this is a fair dinkum mountain and it's pretty high. And she wanted to take the photo to send back to her family in the States to say, I conquered this thing. I climbed this mountain. You guys will be really impressed because I got up this thing. And I've never forgotten the story, because she had every reason to be proud of herself because of what she accomplished in going up and coming down again. But everything was put there for her to fail. And in the natural, things will be put in our path to cause us to fail. I can't do that, and we'll walk away from it. As we look at this sheer rock face and go, I can't get up that. There's no way I can do that. God loves to allow us to be in these positions. Why? Does he like seeing us suffer? Not at all. He loves impossibility. That's what he loves. Because in areas of impossibility, when we come through, we have to say all the glory belongs to him and not to me. So he loves it when we're in these positions, not so that he can see us shake and squirm and suffer, but so that he can say, I'm here with you on the rock face, and I'm going to take you through, so the stumbling block becomes a stepping stone. You remember the time when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he tested Jesus and he said, so what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, and he smugly said, well, I've done all of that stuff. And then Jesus said, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when he heard this, he became sorrowful, for he was very rich. What did he have to do? Just had to follow Jesus. But there was a stumbling stone for him, and the stumbling stone for him was his wealth. Jesus said, it's easy. It's real easy. Just give that stuff away and come follow me. And Jesus is saying the same to you and me tonight. You don't need to learn the formula. Just give away whatever it is and come follow me. I'll lead you through. Whatever it is, I've already got a way. I'm the guy who makes ways in the desert, roads in the wilderness. People will come to us with stumbling stones as well. And you remember the Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, who should we pay taxes to? Do we render taxes to Caesar or to God? And Jesus, knowing where they were coming from, used wisdom from heaven. And he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. For the rich young ruler, there was a certain amount of sacrifice that was required. And for Jesus, there was wisdom that was available from heaven, and he availed himself of it. He didn't get called into justifying himself in a natural sense. You see from these few stories, these few points, God is calling us up to a higher perspective all the time. As long as we stay down here, with a view from Earth's perspective, we have to put things in place to make it work or to give it the illusion of working, and it doesn't work. We have to have heaven's perspective. Joel reminded us this morning that it's simple. And it is. It's simple. We just have to jettison all of the stuff of earth and the stuff of religion and embrace God and all that He is. And He's for us, not against us. He wants to do a new thing for us. He wants to do a new thing through us. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless other people through us. But we can't achieve it with good earthly principles that we ask Him to bless. He's saying enough of that already. It's a new time. It's a new season. Don't do that anymore, because I'm calling you to heaven's perspective. You've got to see things from heaven's perspective. As you do, in place of the difficulties, doors will open. In place of the obstacles, we'll see opportunities. And in place of the stumbling blocks, we'll see that they become stepping stones. This is not if you can think it, it'll work out. This is just releasing yourself into God's plan and purpose for you for this year. And finally, as I finish, a scripture you all know well, I'm sure, from Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for God is with you. If you're looking around tonight and you're saying, well, there's some people here I know and they're pretty godly, I'm sure God's with them. And you're looking at people and going, yeah, God would be with them and them and them and them. But He's not with me because He knows the stuff that I do. He's not with me because I haven't read the Bible for weeks. He's not with me because I haven't put aside time to pray for a long time. He's not with me because this is my first time in church for a long, long time. I just want to address those issues. Those issues are lies. It might be true that you haven't read this for a while. It might be true that you haven't been in church for a while. All of those things might be true, but in the context of what we are looking at, they are lies because they do not separate you from God's love. If they separate you from God's love, I'm wasting my time even talking tonight. Because we can establish our own righteousness, and we can't. Why? It's been established for us through the man, Christ Jesus. He's done it all. And we just step into it tonight. So when He says, fear not, for I am with you, nobody here gets left out. Nobody here is more qualified than anybody else. Joel doesn't get to be more qualified because he's the senior pastor here. We're all qualified because Jesus qualifies us. That's the basis on which we receive, fear not, for I am with you. He's with you in the midst of the difficulties. He's with you in the midst of opposition that is just downright unfair and unjust. He's with you. He's with you where there's these stumbling blocks right in front of you and you don't know how to navigate them. He is with you. He is not looking down tonight at you going, wow, if only you'd made a better decision there. If only you hadn't done these things back there all those years ago. If you'd only made better decisions, I could have been with you. He's with you. He is with you. God is with you because He promised. He's with you. It does away with all the stuff of religion. Praise God. He says, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I don't care what you've done or where you are now, he is your God. Whether you acknowledge him or not, he's your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In every one of these circumstances, he has affirmed again and again, he is in the middle of them with you, and he will take you through. He'll give you keys to open those doors. He'll give you keys to see the obstacles turned into opportunities, and he'll give you keys to see those stumbling blocks become stepping stones for the blessing of his name, for the blessing of your life, and for the blessing of those around you, including family members. That is God's purpose for you for 2015. If it sounds like good news, it's absolutely good news. It's thrilling news. God's purposes for you this year are absolutely brilliant. As he says, I'm with you. You don't have to become more of something so that he'll be with you more. He's with you. He is with you. Let's just walk in it and see what he does in and through a people who know their God increasingly and walk with him seen from heaven's perspective. Is that good news? I reckon it is. Let's thank God, thank the Lord for it. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you that everybody in this room can say, God is with me. And it all depends on you. I thank you that it doesn't depend on our past. It doesn't depend on our present. It doesn't depend on whether we measure up or whether we think we don't measure up at all. It doesn't depend on what our background has been, whether it's been lowly or whether it's been affluent. Lord, it all depends on you, and you are totally dependable, totally faithful, totally loving, totally committed to our good. And we bless you tonight. Father, I pray a blessing upon everybody in this place tonight. I pray that they would be put in a position where increasingly they would see you opening doors for them, and they'd be able to tell about it and encourage others that you are the God who opens doors. You are the God who turns obstacles into opportunities, and you're the God who turns stumbling blocks into stepping stones, that we might reach more people with the goodness of God, that we might be able to share your faithfulness more and more with those around us and see heaven come to earth. Lord, we just declare, here we are, we're available tonight for you to cause your heavenly rule and reign to come to earth in and through us. May it be, Lord, where every person goes this week, where their foot treads, that they claim that ground for you and your kingdom, and increasingly we would see your kingdom coming, your will being done, and you receiving all the glory. We say thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Amen.